New Hampshire is being sued over its new limits on PFAS chemicals. The complaint is from 3M, the company that helped invent PFAS, plus a local cattle farmer, among others. NHPR's Annie Ropeek takes a deep look at the regulations and the case building against them.
On a recent day in Concord, a small crowd stood protesting outside Merrimack Superior Court. They held up signs that said things like "Shame on 3M" as groups of lawyers walked past.
What do we want?
Clean water!
When do we want it?
Now!
Former state representative turned executive council candidate Mindy Messmer set up this protest. She sponsored the bill that led state regulators this year to set the strictest PFAS limits of their kind in the country, the same limits 3M would be in court that day to oppose.
This is clear corporate greed. They should not be able to decide what we should drink.
PFAS were widely used until the mid-2000s to make nonstick pans, waterproof clothes, military-grade firefighting foam, and many other products. And they've been linked to serious health effects: high cholesterol, kidney, liver, and thyroid issues, developmental delays and pregnancy problems, maybe even some cancers. There is evidence for all these connections, but the scientific consensus around them is still being established. That's partly why, at first, New Hampshire was less aggressive and more moderate in the PFAS limits it proposed. The state declined an interview for this story, but officials have said in the past that what tipped the scale toward tighter standards was one particular study from Minnesota.
My name is Helen Gayden. My title is, senior toxicologist and risk assessor here at the Minnesota Department of Health.
3M, the chemical company, was actually founded in Minnesota. It's one of the M's in their name. That's put scientists like Helen Gayden on the front lines of the PFAS issue longer than most, since the early 2000s, when the chemicals turned up in drinking water near 3M's Minnesota facilities. Over time, she says she and other scientists realized how ubiquitous and persistent PFAS is, and that it could cause problems at far lower levels than most chemicals.
In many ways, it may have appeared that the problem was getting worse, but actually, it was our knowledge was improving.
They also learned these chemicals can build up for years in the human body. That could be one reason they pose added health risks. Eventually, Gayden says her team started to see that drinking water was not the only way people could be exposed. Studies were finding that exposed mothers could pass PFAS on to their babies, in utero and through breast milk. So Gayden's team wrote a model. It estimates how much PFAS can be transferred from mothers to babies and how that contributes to lifelong PFAS levels in children's bodies.
It looked like it was important and it was a significant contributor.
In New Hampshire, the bill mandating the new drinking water standards specifically required them to protect against early childhood risks. Critics of the new rules wanted more say in how the state used the Minnesota model, but Gayden says you don't have to be too aggressive with it to get alarming results. She says in public health, officials take a conservative approach, even with early data showing the chemicals are unsafe.
So typically from a public health perspective, we do not wait until there's conclusive evidence of, yes, this is damages health.
That's not always the approach for people outside her field. For one thing, when it comes to federal regulation of chemicals like PFAS, the U.S. policy is to wait for more explicit evidence of harm before cracking down. And while federal scientists are growing more concerned about the potential health effects of PFAS, and other states like Michigan, New York, and Vermont are writing their own enforceable standards, many who will be most affected by following those regulations aren't convinced. Charlie Hansen is the cattle farmer from Center Harbor who joined the 3M lawsuit against New Hampshire. His hay fields are fertilized with what are called biosolids. Yes, that's human sewage, dried out, cleaned up, and turned into mulch. It doesn't bother Hansen at all.
We have what I call fecal aversion syndrome. You know, people go to the bathroom, they close the door, and, you know, it's like discreet and everything, and I get that. But the reality is, these are great sources of nutrients when used appropriately.
The main reason Hansen is worried about New Hampshire's PFAS standards is that the biosolids he uses come from wastewater treatment plants. They're not currently required to treat for PFAS, which can wind up concentrated in what we flush down our toilets, the same stuff that's used to make this fertilizer. It means people like Hansen are typically spreading at least low levels of PFAS on their fields. More and more, biosolids users are being accused of causing drinking water contamination in New Hampshire and other states. Hansen worries that tighter regulations will put people like him on the hook unfairly for even more PFAS cleanup.
We've lived with these chemicals for, 70 years? I don't know how much of an impact they make. Doesn't seem like a lot. And to just start taking rash actions, I don't think is prudent based on what the actual risk is.
Hansen's biosolids supplier is RMI, a fertilizer company in Holderness. He's also on RMI's board with its president, Sheila Connolly. The company is also part of the 3M suit. Connolly argues there's just not enough data to convince her that it's worth making the changes the state estimates will cost towns and businesses tens of millions of dollars.
We are rushing to say, we're going to implement these standards just to be safe. And I say to you, well, do you know what it's going to cost just to be safe?
The biggest immediate cost will be for local water utilities. That's why the Plymouth Water and Sewer District is the final plaintiff in the 3M suit. Superintendent Jason Randall says it's hard to imagine eradicating PFAS from his system single-handedly, since the chemicals were, and in some cases still are, found in so many commonly used products.
There's habits that we need to change as a society in order to make these regulations and the levels permitted acceptable and viable for our communities.
3M helped put these PFAS-based products like Teflon and Gore-Tex into Americans' lives. And they initiated the lawsuit against New Hampshire and invited all these local parties to join. The company didn't want to be interviewed, but says in a statement, quote, "We believe the development of drinking water standards should follow appropriate regulatory processes and be supported by the best available science," end quote. They say New Hampshire didn't do either of those things in writing its new rules. But unless a judge grants 3M's request for an injunction, those rules will stay in effect. Public water systems, including Plymouth's, will have to file their first quarterly PFAS testing results by the end of next month. From there, they'll get a sense of how much treatment might cost. And more money could come through for that in the future, from the state legislature or federal grants, or through court. New Hampshire itself is joining dozens of other states, towns, and people suing 3M and other chemical companies for allegedly causing all this contamination. Here again, New Hampshire takes a cue from Minnesota. That state got $850 million in a water contamination settlement with 3M last year. For NHPR News, I'm Annie Ropeek.